I'm going to hand over to our very able MLA and Green Party leader now, Stephen Agnew.
I really should have learned from the mistakes of my predecessor. Don't employ the person who's going to usurp you. So thank you. He does so with my consent and indeed encouragement. So thank you, everyone. I think it's fair to say, departing from my own written speech, because I hadn't fully appreciated how lively a day today was going to be, I think in terms of our conference, we've made a real step forward. And, you know, in terms of our motions each year, I see the maturity of the debate that we have increase. You know, I remember days where every motion was passed unanimously because nobody dared put anything forward controversial. Well, we've put that one to bed with this conference, and particularly with our panel debate. But it's good to see, because it's important that we can hold strong opinions, but do so respectively. And I think that's largely what has taken place today. Today I want to talk about our future, the future of our children in Northern Ireland, and the future of our party in Northern Ireland. As Disraeli put it, politicians just think of the next election, but statesmen think of the next generation. The next generation has always been at the heart of Green Party policy, and children have been at the heart of our conference today, although, as Gareth Gordon from the BBC pointed out, it's probably the first conference where there haven't been lots of them running around. You know, and maybe that's a price to some extent of the increased professionalism, but maybe it's something we should ensure we don't lose in the long term. We want to look at children from cradle to career, the full journey from childhood to adulthood. Make no mistake, it's a difficult time to be a child, especially in Northern Ireland. Rising youth unemployment is coupled with rising student debt and forthcoming cuts to the educational maintenance allowance. All forecasts suggest that it is women and children who will be hit hardest when the cuts to Social Security take effect. That is why we have been resisting the UK government's proposals and opposing the simple copy and paste of those proposals into Northern Ireland legislation. Good laws and good policy should be based on evidence. The work of Suzanne Zedek and others show that the key development age of children is from 0 to 6. From birth to age 3 is the most active period in a child's brain development. And by 6 years old, the disadvantages to a child of deprivation can have been set in stone, and it can almost be irreparable. The failure of the executive parties to come up with an early years strategy is but one example of how they are failing children. The draft earlier strategy was so severely criticised that it has been scrapped altogether. It was fundamentally flawed in that it was a 0-6 policy which sat solely in the Department of Education. Now, when we take into account that the children don't encounter in any way, shape or form the Department of Education until age 3, the fact that we had a 0-6 strategy that started at age 3 surely shows us how ludicrous the silo mentality at the heart of our government is. And the silo mentality at the heart of our government is stopping resources getting to where they're needed, and no less so in relation to children. That's why I'm pleased to announce the private members bill that we're working on as a party has made significant progress, and in our recent consultation, every respondent supported our ideas, and indeed many wanted us to go further, thought we weren't being ambitious enough. But in that regard, seeking to reform, seeking to get joined up government, and seeking to get cross working between departments, and seeking to put children at the centre agenda, is fairly ambitious for a party with one member, and I should say that's for now. The bill seeks to ensure that, I'll give an example of how our systems aren't working. I was at Home Start a few weeks back, and I asked how the particular project was funded, And they detail three different funding streams which exist within the Department of Health. Three different applications, three different scrutiny processes, and three different administrations at the other side. And that's within one department. How bad do you think it is across the range of our departments, where every department, to a greater or lesser extent, has responsibility for children? Surely, when we talk about efficiencies, these are the types of inefficiencies we need to be tackling to ensure that more resources go to our children. And as we've heard today in our debate, the divisions that exist at the heart of government are reflected in our school system. The proposals in the Education Bill merely seek to better administer a system of segregation. As we have discussed today, and I wrote this speech before we passed the motion, but delighted we did so. As we have discussed today, we need an inclusive education that brings together children of all religions and none, of all abilities and disability, and of all social economic backgrounds. We cannot continue in the long term to fund a system that entrenches division. If we truly want to see a shared society, and there's certainly a lot of talk of it, if we truly want to see a shared society for all, we must have institutions that are inclusive of all. We must also speak out against the demonising of our young people. Too many politicians seek to condemn our young people. I believe we should celebrate them. This has been no more apparent than in the recent debate on the age of criminal responsibility. The chair of the Justice Committee believes it's not enough that we criminalise children as young as the age 10. He wants to reduce it to age 8. Given some of his party's desire to bring back the death penalty, I put it to the Assembly that the DUP's policy is not to hug a hoodie, but to hang a hoodie. This is politics of the gut, and it's sheer gutter politics. All evidence shows that coming into contact with the justice system only increases the likelihood that a young person will engage in further criminality. The purpose of the justice system must be to reduce crime and to reduce reoffending rates. Investment in early years provision is the best way to do this. And again, that will not give the quick fixes that politicians so often desire. This is long-term commitment to proving outcomes for our children in Northern Ireland. The right will cry that we must put punishment at the heart of our justice system. But we know that doesn't work. Look at America. They have the death penalty. They have also one of the highest rates of crime of any developed nation. They also have one of the highest rates of poverty too. And I think this is where we should look when we look at problems of criminality. The notion that punishment is the only way to bring justice for the victim is another fallacy. The best way we can serve victims is to reduce the number of victims. The best way we can serve victims is to have a justice system that's based on evidence of how we reduce offending rates and reoffending. The best outcome for a victim is to know that the justice system will reduce the likelihood of those who committed a crime against them from doing so again. We must also remember that children are more likely to be the victim of crime than to be the perpetrator. And we must remember, when we do hear horrendous stories of offences committed by children, that often these children will be grown up in a family where violence is commonplace, and who will have been victims of violence and sexual offences themselves. And by simply seeking to punish them, we simply victimise them further. We currently have over 2,500 looked after children in Northern Ireland. The outcomes for children growing up in care in Northern Ireland are poor across a range of indicators in terms of health, educational achievement, risk of offending, and risk of suicide. However, our health minister seeks to deny those children the opportunity of growing up in a loving family home because some of those families may not reflect the values of the minister. The minister's decision to challenge the court ruling to allow unmarried couples and those in civil partnerships to adopt is an absolute disgrace. The minister claims to be the protector of the unborn child, but he is failing those children who have been born into families who either cannot or will not meet their needs. He should be ashamed, and as far as I'm concerned, he is unfit for office. The Green Party is proud to be seen as champions for the environment, but at our core has always been that long-term planning for future generations, and we need to work harder as a party to get the message out that we are also here to act as champions for children. If I might turn conference from future generations to the future of our party, we have come a long way in a short space of time. I remember when I first joined the party, now Councillor John Barry saying to me something to the effect of, and I apologise if I misquote him, he said, "It's all fine and well, and we've been knocking doors. People think of us as a nice party. But when we start pissing people off, we know we're having an effect." John,
you've been successfully
pissing people off. And indeed, as we've seen today, we have challenged some of the dogma in Northern Ireland that needs to be challenged. And the important thing is, it's not about upsetting people for the sake of it, but it's upsetting those who are resistant to change. Because I didn't get into politics to maintain the status quo, and I don't think any of you are here because you want to see the status quo maintained. We want to see real change. We want to see the status quo challenged. We want to see the old dogmas challenged. I think we've done that with our proposals on gay marriage. I'm proud to have brought the first ever Assembly motion addressing an issue of equality for the LGBT community. And I'm proud that our councillors are upsetting the status quo. So instead of having to shout at the TV, there are now people in Northern Ireland who were previously unrepresented in Northern Ireland politics are now hearing their voices heard in council chambers and in the Assembly. As Dylan put it, "Your old road is up, rapidly ageing. Please get out of the new one if you can't land your hand, for the times, they are a-changing." Or as R.E.M. put it, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." We must use the momentum we have to drive us forward into the next set of election. You've just heard from our excellent European election candidate, and I'm sure you agree with me that he is much better than our last one. There are a few groans there. While other parties have more seats than they have talent, the Green Party has an abundance of talent, but we must get our people elected for fear of losing them to other careers. People like Ross Brown, Claire Bailey, Mark Simpson, John Hardy, Mark McCormick, Noel Robinson, some of our prospective candidates for future elections. These are the future of our party, and these will ensure that the Green Party has a strong voice in Northern Ireland politics for years to come. But if we want to see these people in elected positions, the hard work must start now. We need to be engaging in our community groups, in residence groups, and in local campaigns. Those seeking election must be getting their names into the paper, their voice on the radio, and their faces on TV. Some have already started doing that. Some more than others. But it is time that everyone in this party who wants to get elected starts doing that and starts thinking themselves as a politician, because it's the only way to get there. If you believe you're a politician, the public are believe you're good enough to be a politician. No one gets elected for what they do over a 6-week election period. It is work put in on the ground over a period of years that you need to break it through into councils and ultimately to seats in the Assembly. Now, that may not be true in other parties. I'm sure we can think of plenty of examples of people who maybe haven't earned their elected status, but you can be sure any elected Green Party member has earned it. Conference, we have a strong message, talented candidates, and the vision needed to shape Northern Ireland politics. If we add to that hard work, generous donations of time and money, and long-term commitment, we can ensure our potential is realised. So go spread the word go spread the word that the Green Party is champion for the environment. Go spread the word that the Green Party is champion of our communities. And go spread the word that the Green Party are champions for our children. Thank you.